Colonel Hutchison, Real 2. We were talking about when you were in France and you saw the news of the German-Russian pact.
Yeah.
And you immediately realised what that could mean.
Well, the implications are, yeah, sure. So we set off up the Route Napoleon to Bâle. We decided we'd go to the consul at Bâle. Our intention was to return through Germany because Germany were offering a special sort of tourist rate of exchange called Reichsmark checks for tourists at a favourable rate. So we called on the consul in Bâle and explained our circumstances and said, would he advise that we go through Germany or not? And as Victor was in the supplementary reserve of the Grenadiers, and I was in the Yeomanry, he said, I'm definitely not. So we decided we were getting a bit short of money otherwise. We spent it all doing things like water skiing. We wired home to our respective parents to send money to Nancy, where we are headed for, to the post restaurant there, so we can have some money, and then we set off in that direction. And when we got to Nancy, we went and to the post office to ask, no sign of the money. So we went camped outside in a wood for the night, and went back the next day. Still no sign of it. So we decided, well, we just got enough money to pay for petrol to get to the coast. We would just set off for the coast, which is what we did. And then Victor had a bright idea when we were on our journey that he had friends who had a chateau near Blanc, I think. And he said, I think we could find that. So I think we'll go there and they'll be able to cash a check. So we did just this and we found this place and had a very civilized dinner, and they cashed our check and we got the car on the boat, although without any reservation, to Ostend, I think, and then back home a couple of days before war broke out.
And what
was interesting, right, coming up the Maginot Line, that sort of thing, seeing horses and mobilization and horses being requisitioned and so on in the fields is quite interesting.
And what was the mood in France, would you say? I mean, optimistic, pessimistic, how did you feel? The whole mood of the French people?
We were we were just a travelling. It was too superficial to get any impression of that. The night we camped outside Nancy in the woods, there was a forest warden that appeared, and he thought we were German spies. We managed to persuade we were not. And we had a bottle of brandy, which we gave him a slug of that and then pacified. But no, I had so little conversation with French people. The Belgian family, who were helpful to us, and helped us. They knew there was a war, but they weren't expecting what happened to them. I got the impression that they're a neutral country, we weren't involved.
Now, when you got back, what was the mobilisation procedure? Did you go home or did you go straight to?
I went home, and I was actually shooting the day that war broke out with a friend of my father's, and the butler came out with lunch and with the announcement that the Germans had gone into Poland that morning, the 1st of September, and so I finished my day shooting and then motored home and reported to the drill hall in my uniform the next morning.
So
that was it.
So you reported a day before the war broke out, Britain joined on the 3rd.
I got home a couple of days before the war broke out. Then, let's say on the 1st of September, I had accepted this invitation to shoot and became aware of what was happening at lunchtime that day. And then from the 2nd of September onwards.
Now, what was happening at Kirkcaldy?
Well,
where were you based?
I can't remember what the expression is. We were sort of mobilising there, but
were you at the drill hall?
I can't remember whether the men whether they had the accommodation or whether they were sleeping at home. I was certainly for the first week or two was living at home. And came every day into the drill hall.
Was that which drill hall was it?
The one.
So which street it was?
I can't remember what it's called, that street. Near the old church. Kirkwynd is just around the corner in a street that goes into Kirkwynd. And you know Kirkcaldy? Yeah.
And what was happening during the day? What sort of activity, what were you doing during the day? Your day's work, that's so sweet.
Well, somebody like me would be instructed to take a squadron off for a sort of march through the town, really sort of filling in time. I think it was more administrative work, embodying the people officially. I think it was more administrative work than that. And then up in Wraith Park, there was a rifle range. We used to go up there quite regularly. These boys knew as little or less than me. They were starting absolutely from scratch.
Most of them were people who'd been joined up just in April with the doubling up.
Yes, they were all volunteers, with the exception the government had introduced a sort of false conscription in the summer of 39, and we got a few people from that source who weren't necessarily fifers, but for the most part they were fife and volunteers.
And anything happened while you were at Kirkcaldy? Because you weren't there that long, were you?
No. A few weeks. I think before the end, sometime during September that year, we moved up to Leslie, we were in various halls, the squadrons were, but they were all concentrated and living together, and we had a mess there where I lived, a house called Flubbers.
What was the mess like in those days?
It was rather fun.
You've got more used to it.
The married officers, I think, tended during that stage, they stayed at home and appeared during the day. But the rest was all right.
What was it like? I mean, what did it offer for you as an officer? I mean, you lived there, but what were the mess facilities?
We made ourselves as comfortable as possible in the mess. I think with reasonable success. There wasn't the imposition of food rationing then, and there was no difficulty about buying wine and that sort of thing at that stage of the war. It only happened gradually.
Were the mess bills fairly high in the 5 and 4 5, would you say?
No, I would think fairly low.
You wouldn't need private means then, as an officer. At that time,
yes. The pay was inconsiderable. I can't remember what my pay was as a subaltern. No.
So you might have needed.
You wouldn't know what it was at the outbreak of war, but it wasn't very much.
And had you settled into the mess by then? Because at first you found it a bit alcohol and sort of over jolly. Had you settled in?
That applied to the camp. On a sort of day-to-day basis at Leslie when we first formed the Mess. No, it was very friendly up there. I think we were a very friendly regiment, you know, and quite informal. In the Mess.
I mean, would majors talk to lieutenants? I mean,
yes.
Because in some regiments they don't.
No. I mean, you mentioned earlier Fergus McIntyre. I used to play bridge with him regularly after dinner. No. There was no standoffishness about rank.
Did you dress for, I mean, was there any element of formalness about them? I mean, you wouldn't wear mess uniforms, would you, I presume? At the time?
Well, we had mess nights at regular intervals, but I can't remember what the intervals were, when we wore blue patrols in the evening. Otherwise, at that stage of the war, we were wearing service dress. Battle dress hadn't been invented.
And what was a mess night like? What would a typical mess night, what would the form of the evening be like from the start to the finish?
Well, at dinner, always at the end of it, a glass or two of port.
Would you have guests in for the mess night? And who would they be? Would they be local civilians or other officers from other units?
I don't think very much there, Leslie, no, because I don't think we were there long enough to get organised for that sort of thing.
So it would just be...
But I think it would just be the officers. And, of course, on guest nights, the married officers would be there to, they wouldn't be excused.
Was there much drinking going on now that, you know, that you're away at camp? Obviously, yes, you mentioned there was a fair bit of drink.
Yes.
But, I mean, day to day, was it a hard drinking unit? Or
no, I wouldn't say so. On mess nights, perhaps, yes. But generally speaking, not.
Would officers be expected to not get drunk, generally?
I would have a drink or two, I suppose, in the evening. I don't think there was much heavy drink. There'd be occasional evenings when there was a bit of an outburst. But,
so generally, social drinking with the odd party, or equivalent of a party.
Yeah.
What about the training? How was that developing while you were at Leslie? They seem to have done quite a bit of concentration on learning vehicle driving and.
Yes, right. Teaching these young soldiers to drive lorries. And vehicles for a start, let alone tanks. We were gradually beginning to collect Bren gun carriers and these tanks. And that was a gradual process going on during that year. But we wouldn't have the priority that, for instance, the 1st Regiment, who were earmarked to go overseas during the first winter of the war, and did. They would get priority for getting equipment, obviously, so we were on a lower priority. But there was so much to be taught, really from scratch. How to look after a rifle and fire it, and a Bren gun, and the driving, that would occupy most of the training at that stage, I think.
And you could drive?
Yes.
So, would you be helping to train men, or would you just be supervising?
No. I think you could easily be instructing a bit. I think I did. So I'd driven a car for some time. So. But we had enough instructors, I think. It was a steady progress.
They seem to have, what about fitness training? Because, I mean, was there a lot of emphasis on getting the men and yourselves, the officers, fit, or were you already pretty fit?
I'm trying to think whether I got involved in PT.
or route marches.
I watched that.
Now, how are you getting on with the local civilians in Leslie? I mean, there were five, but...
I think they accepted us. I don't think we had any difficulties with them. In fact, I'm sure we didn't. I don't think that we socialised much with them either. I think we were fairly self-contained from that point of view.
Now, one thing that did happen in the background was there was a German raid on the 4th Bridge.
Yeah.
Now, some people seem to have had some inkling of this or saw it, and other people don't. I mean, were you aware of the raid? It was, I think, the 16th of October.
Yes, I didn't see it. It was a minor affair. I certainly didn't see it.
Now, anything else about Leslie before? I think in January of 1940, they went to Beaumont Barracks, Aldershot. Would
right,
that
right, yes. When the first spy proper moved out and went over to France, and then we moved into Beaumont Barracks, some very old cavalry barracks.
What were they like?
Yes, the weather. Very cold. All the lavatories frozen up, and that's... It was pretty awful. Anyway, we went down there in January. I remember I was in charge of a convoy of lorries motored down, spending a night in Edinburgh at Redford Barracks, I think. Scots Grey's depot, they looked after us. And then another night somewhere in the Midlands, Lutterworth, I think it was. And then on to... Aldershot with my lorries. I can't remember how many were there in the convoy.
That convoy sort of driving became more and more regularised. I mean, they had rules for, yeah, you know, distances and the rest of it. I mean, did you have convoy discipline, or was it just driving along?
Yes, it was supposed to be discipline. I think it got pretty good later on, you know, not bunching up. Keeping distances so people would overtake. At that stage, I think it was probably not imposed.
Would you be in a lorry or would you be in a car?
Lorry. Not driving it. In charge of the convoy.
And when you got to Bowman, I mean, vehicles did start coming in there. Perhaps we could talk a bit about them there. One of the ones was this Mark 6B tank. Now, were you given a troop of Mark 6Bs or Bren carriers to deal with them?
Yeah, each squadron, as I recall, had two troops of Mark 6Bs. I had one of those, and four troops of Bren gun carriers.
Now, what were the Mark... Could you give us... I mean, the Mark 6B's just not a known... People don't know about that tank at all now. Could you give us a bit of a description of the Mark 6B and also what the job was of each member of the crew? And, of course, in particular, you'd be a tank commander,
yes.
I presume.
Well, we were supposed to be sort of what they call divisional cavalry. It was really evolved later on into what they called a reconnaissance regiment. Infantry division tend to have a reconnaissance regiment, not the armoured divisions. Our function was, broadly speaking, the same as what the reconnaissance regiment became, I think. They were pretty useless tanks, you know. They had a sort of coaxially mounted machine gun and a heavy machine gun.
A Vickers machine gun?
Yes. Yes, and very light armour, and pretty unreliable.
Mechanically.
The Bren gun carriers were Yeah. A bit more reliable.
The Mark VI, how many crew would there be, and what would they... What was...
Three. Wasn't it?
I think so.
Three, because the driver wasn't a co-driver, no. Wasn't even the vehicle tanks, no. It's just three.
And what did you think of them at the time? I mean, were you aware of their limitations then, or is it was it with in retrospect that you had no idea?
Not a lot. No, they were unimpressive. I mean, as you know, we always lag behind the Germans in our tank design. I don't know why that should be. It's never been written up. But it went on throughout the war until the last day, you might say. The Germans were still ahead of us in design, so I think it was the Russians.
Now, the Bren carriers, they were fairly new. What did you think of the Bren carriers? You didn't have a troop of Bren carriers, but what did you think of them?
Well, you couldn't be impressed by a Bren carrier, quite frankly. I mean, you had a little bit of protection from ordinary bullets, but that was all. The Bren gun, I think you probably were going to dismount the fire anyway. It had one Bren gun, and that was all. The others had rifles, I suppose. I can't remember what the crew was, but I suppose it was three or four.
While you were at Aldershot, did you actually get much training on these, or was that later when you were at Farnham? Because they went off into Kent, didn't they? Farnham and Runfold, I'm not sure if that's Kent or Sussex.
That's it. Training, it's all the time at Aldershot, but more so when we went out to Farnham, which was in February 40.
Now, the only other thing about Aldershot was there's this rumour that they found a cannibalised tank in a coal cellar, and some people reckon they saw it, and others reckon it was a rumour. Were you aware of this? It's in the cellar's history that there was.
I don't remember that.
Anything else about Aldershot before you moved to Farnham? You were only there a month, weren't you?
Yes, only there about a month. It was very cold weather. The thaw came the day we moved to Farnham, which was about the 20th of February, as far as I can remember. And it was a lot of snow. It was a cold month, January and well into February that year. And then, of course, there was the most marvellous spring that went on until after Dunkirk, all through March and April and May. It was nice weather.
Now, well, you were in billets, I think. Do you remember your billets? Were they in Farnham, or were you in Farnham, C Squadron?
C Squadron, no. We arrived at, was it called Runfold, the village? Runfold, yes. Just that the mess was in Farnham. Rather an interesting house. It's now the county library. A rather nice Caledonian house in the main street. Vernon House, it's called.
And what were your billets like in Runfold? Your billets like in Runfold, you know, where you actually lived?
Yes. We had houses. They were just requisitioned large villas. And we had several of them. They were all in that village, I think.
So the civilians weren't living in them?
No. They were requisitioned.
And what sort of training were you doing with your troop?
Well, we were doing troop training. There and squadron training, but troop training. And in the sort of swanning about in the country, sort of south of Farnham, in that sort of wooded country.
And this was in your reconnaissance role?
Yes.
And how many tanks were there in your troop? Was it four?
but I thought it was three, but it may have been four.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. You thought three. So there'd be your tank and two others.
Mm-hmm.
And who was your troop NCO, your troop sergeant? Do you remember? Or any key people?
No. I would have. I think every tank was commanded by either an officer or an NCO. So you would have a troop sergeant and a troop corporal.
And yourself. And were you pleased with the way the training went? Were you, in the country round about Farnham?
I think so. And we must have become fairly well equipped by then, because you see, we were supposed to be going to France in June, I think, as divisional cavalry for the 9th Highland Division, a bit of which went over, I think, to Cherbourg or somewhere like that, just in time to dump all their equipment and come back again. We were supposed to be getting ready for overseas service by that time.
Had you had any training in the tactics? As an officer, you were going to have to deploy your troop and also to sort of, generally be able to handle units. Had you any tactical training in how to, manoeuvre tanks?
On a troop basis, yes. We did tactical training. But I think at that stage, it was more on a troop than on a squadron basis.
And what sort of things were you learning? What were the troop training?
How to move.
How were you to move? I mean, was this the formations you'd use? Or?
Yes. I think if you were advancing and you were thinking you might be making contact with the enemy, I think they called it the sort of snake patrol. Somebody would go on ahead and then stop at a corner, you see, and then the next chap would come up to him and then he would go on. That sort of thing.
And were the units... Did they train to fight in action, things like going hold down or things, or was this just irrelevant with the sort of tank that you had, a machine gun?
Exactly, irrelevant as far as those tanks were concerned. Later, yes, a lot of tanks, very much so.